fallen, Lord judgment. My own sweet down to the ditch where I fall. I don't recognize you for this anymore. I don't wanna be defeated. I don't wanna be defeated. I don't wanna be defeated. I don't wanna be defeated.
Hello, everybody. How is it going? I'm great. Thanks for asking. Chilling on the Warped Tour right now. Oh my God, it is hot. Are you feeling hot, hot, hot? Yes, I am. It's very, very hot outside, but Warped Tour has been a blast. So far, we've done 4 shows. They've been amazing. We got 4 more coming up. If you are in the vicinity of Buffalo, Scranton, New York, or Boston, make sure you go, you get your tickets to see some great bands like my band Silverstein and another great band called the Amity Affliction, Australia's finest. This is a band that has been killing it for a long time. 3 number one records in a row in Australia, but it's grown all over the world. They're killing it in America. They're killing it in Europe. I did an episode before with lead screamer Joel Birch. It was a great episode. It was about 2 years ago. And at the time, I was planning on talking to both him and the singer, Aaron. He was tied up at the time. But I think it worked out better because we have a great episode today. We talk about all things Amity Affliction, their new song, their new record that's coming out. It's going to be very, very different. And of course, his love for the Baltimore Orioles. Before we get into that, as always, you can get in touch with me. It's very easy. Probably the easiest way is to email me, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. I read all my emails, but also make sure you add us on Instagram @leadsingersyndrome. We're on Twitter. That's an easy way to hit me up. And of course, follow the Facebook page or like the Facebook page, whatever the hell you do on there. We got a great one there. Shout out to Neil, Julia, and Melissa for doing that for me. Also, shout out to everybody who tuned in last week for my awesome conversation with Joe from Knucklepuck. It was cool. That was like as live an interview as you can get. I literally did it, put it up immediately, and it was nice to have things fresh. And this was pretty fresh as well, I'd say. Only about 2 days old. But thanks to everybody who's listening to this, everyone who's subscribed, hit the subscribe button. If you like the show, feel free to write a review on iTunes. Also, if you want to support the show, please check out the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club. The link is leadsingersyndrome.com/all access. For as little as $6 a month, you can help this thing keep going, keep growing, and you get a bunch of perks, bonus episodes, bonus content, merchandise, blah, 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 blah. Just check out the link, leadsingersyndrome.com/all access. Anyway, let's keep the intro short and sweet. Here is the conversation I had on the back of the bus with Aaron Stringer of the Amity Affliction.
I'm not searching the sky for a reason to live, 'cause I found beauty right here and a passion to give. So let me give you my heart, let me give you my tears, let me give you my life, let me give you my fears.
All right, we're doing it.
Let's go.
I'm here with Mr. Aaron Stringer of the Amity Affliction on the Vans Warped Tour, the last one ever.
How's it going? Yeah, good. Things are great.
Great.
We're, I guess, a little over halfway through.
Yep.
About 9 deep and 20 straight.
Yep.
Which is real fun.
When was the last time you guys did it? Did you do it 2 years ago?
We did 13 and then 15.
13 and 15. Okay, so it's been, so 3 years. And you guys had, it's been pretty well documented. You guys had kind of a couple rough goes.
We did, yeah.
Like it wasn't easy treading on, and it never is easy on Warped Tour, but, you know, with Joel like getting hospitalized that time and obviously a great song came out of it. But, you know, that whole thing, was there some, not really sure about wanting to do it again?
Well, I mean,
what was the decision there?
Well, Joel's sober now, so he's, he actually did say that he was worried about doing this tour sober, but no, he's been really flying through it. He's, keeping busy in other ways.
Yeah.
And, just trying to just do anything constructive that isn't drinking, basically. Not that that's constructive.
No, totally. And I had him on the show, I guess it was when your last record came out. In Toronto, and we sat there, and it was funny because I showed up to the venue, and there's at the Opera House where you guys, I guess you guys were headlining that show, and I showed up and I was like, oh, there's a bar, perfect. I know Joel likes to drink, so we sit down and I order a beer, and he's like, mate, I'm sober now.
Yeah.
And good for him, first of all. I mean, obviously, sure. I know he had some issues with that. What's the dynamic like in the band since that happened, I guess? Because obviously you're still, we're drinking beers right now.
Yeah.
Throwing back some banquet.
Throwing back some, Coors Banquet. Fancy stuff today, yeah.
Well, it's better than, what do they give you sometimes in like the Buffalo area? Like Genesee?
Yeah, or Natural Light You know, well, we had something horrible yesterday. Bush Light. I don't mind. It just tastes like water though.
Right.
You may as well be drinking seltzer.
Right. But how's that been? I mean, I don't know if that changes, because obviously you guys are very close people in the band.
Right, yeah.
You're the original members. You're the singers of the band. You guys discuss ideas, and I want to get all into the new record that's coming out too, but what's that like when all of a sudden a guy that couldn't keep his shit together is like, maybe he has his shit kept together better than you do now?
He does, 100%, yeah. But I mean, yeah, to begin with, like, I was definitely like happy for him to go sober. Like, he definitely needed to do it, and I also was like, oh, I miss my drinking buddy now.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Sure, so, of course.
But I mean, it was probably a good thing for everyone. Like, we all kind of slowed down and just went, okay, let's take it back a notch and not get blackout drunk every night. But yeah, no, I'm so happy for him. He's, you know, really taking control of his life, and yeah, it's definitely for the best, and we're still great friends. Like, we don't drink together anymore, but, mm-hmm. you know, we've found other things that we do together, like, you know, play golf every now and then, just play video games, you know?
I feel like you guys have always been like that, though, and I love that about you guys. It's like, you guys have kind of embraced just like, hey, we're on tour, like, let's go do some fun shit. It's mm-hmm. not just sit around. And another thing that I love about you and is how much you've embraced American sports. And I know you're repping the Orioles real hard.
Yep.
And there was some news lately with Manny Machado, the superstar player, going to the Dodgers.
Some inevitable news. We knew it was happening. I called it I called Dodgers ages ago. Yeah. They just the team with the most money, so it was just a shoo-in, really.
So how did you get into the Orioles specifically? Like, why was that your team? Because it's pretty random.
Well, I've always been a huge fan of sports, ever since I've seen, baseball in particular, ever since I saw Major League when I was a kid. I saw it at the cinema and I was like, this is amazing. I ended up getting, just recently I got a portrait of the Wild Thing on my foot. But yeah, ever since then I was just in love with baseball. I loved the Cleveland Indians, obviously. And then when I got older and started, you know, getting into music more, I just kind of forgot about it. And it's not like a televised sport in Australia either, so... Yeah, and then we came to America for the first time to record Youngbloods in 2010. We went to a Mariners. Back then it was the Florida Mariners.
You mean Marlins, Florida Marlins, yeah.
Florida Marlins, yeah, sorry. Yep. And then we saw them versus the Mets at Citi Field. It was the first ballpark I ever went to. And I just fell in love all over again. And then I was like, well, I want to follow this. I'll pick a team. So I was like, who's the worst team in the league? And Australians love an underdog story, so I picked the O's. And also, I was a big fan of The Wire, so it was just kind of like, you know, the character String a Bell.
Wire. Yeah. Oh, my God. It's all come
full
circle.
And everyone started calling me String after that.
Right.
Because of his character. And, the rest is history.
Might be the greatest TV show ever.
I agree.
Yeah. It glorified Baltimore in sort of the best and worst way.
In the worst way, yeah. It's like such a hard city, and that appealed to me because I fancy myself as, you know, somewhat of a gangster. I'm just kidding. But, you know, just gangster rap and all that shit, like, just really hardcore stuff. And I was like, this is my team, 100%.
There you go. And now, so are you still going to support Machado moving forward?
I mean,
fuck you, you're not, you know.
No, I'll be a Machado fan for life, cool. I think. Like, he was too good for us, so he's gone to a better place, and now he's actually on a contending team. Cool. I just hope Adam Jones doesn't leave as well, but we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah. Blow up the team, that's what they do.
Yeah.
But, you know, I hate the Orioles because I'm a Blue Jays fan.
Of course, and I hate the Blue Jays because I'm an Orioles fan.
There you go, perfect. So we can't agree on that, but I remember, it's funny because I just walked past D's Nuts, they're playing right now. And I saw JJ up there, and it made me think of, I think they have a song or a video about how they don't know anything about the sports. They just rep, like, whatever logos look cool. You know, you see him, like, wearing hip-hop videos.
He does, yeah, for sure.
He does, yeah.
He loves
exactly,
he loves
exactly.
It.
And I always, wait, no, like, String is, like, definitely a sports fan. Yeah.
I like all, like...
Yeah, and you like hockey, too.
I love hockey, yeah. I was a Bruins fan, and then when that whole Machado beef with the Red Sox happened, I was like, I can't support a Boston team now.
Right.
So I was just like, well, who's the closest team to Maryland and the Capitals? So
that worked out nicely.
I switched like the start of last year, and then they won the Stanley Cup. And now everyone thinks I'm a Fairweather fan, but I don't care.
Yeah. Well, that motherfucker.
It was just lucky.
That motherfucker Marchand, I can't stand him.
Dude. I love Brad Marchand. He's still licking people's faces. I mean,
that was against my team too, the Maple Leafs. So I was like, hell no, man. I'm not on board for that, man.
I saw Propagandi tweeted something like the singer's son said, "I want to boil Brad Marchand's face in olive oil." And I was like, that's pretty cute.
Yeah, Propagandi are Maple Leafs fans, which is just proof that that's the team everyone should.
Well, I think that you're going to get lucky next year, and they're going to win it all. Yeah, now that you got Tavares. Yeah.
Damn, I'm loving the sports talk already, man. So I want to go back to the beginning, I guess, if you don't mind, talking about growing up in Queensland, Australia, and how was it for you? Did you grow up in sort of a normal kind of family? Did you have brothers and sisters? What was it like for you?
Completely normal family. I have one sister. My parents are still together.
Yeah.
I'm very lucky in that aspect. But we moved. We originally lived in Ipswich, which is like about an hour from Brisbane. And then when I was about grade three, so about seven, we moved to rural Queensland, like Kundanga, but in the Gympie area. So Gympie is very rural in itself. It's about 3 hours north
Gympie?
All
right.
Yeah. About 3 hours north of Brisbane, the capital. So it was very remote. We were about an hour away from the Sunshine Coast, which is the beach, but we're just inland, so there's really nothing to do there. We grew up on a 20-acre property. There was cows and shit, and we just, as a teenager, it was really fun because me and my friends would just get a bottle of rum and go in the forest and light fires and cut down trees and just go crazy.
So not much to do.
Nothing to do.
Right.
And that's why I think we started a band, because all we had was music and we had a lot of time on our hands. And I just fell in love with punk rock, and my favorite band was Guttermouth, and I just learned how to play the songs on guitar. I was like, fuck, this is so easy. I could do this, you know what I mean?
And then, how did you first hear a Guttermouth?
Well, we had satellite TV, because the channels, the free-to-air TV, the reception was so bad because of where we were. We had to have satellite TV. And then they had these shows on Channel V, which is like the Australian version of MTV. We had MTV too, but Channel V was better. And it had shows, like punk rock shows on Saturday nights. And we would just tape them and just listen to them over and over and watch them over and over. And it showed me all the bands that I've ended up listening to.
It's funny, I remember when I first heard Guttermouth, and it was on the first Hopeless Records compilation that looked, I don't know if you remember it, it looked like Grease, the Grease cover. And the first track was Guttermouth.
So, yeah.
They weren't even on the label. But
and Hopeless
first
was in the Grease logo?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I remember they had the song, and it was called Hopeless. It was like something like, they said I'm hopeless, but I don't care. I just want to get laid and drink some beer. That was like the song.
Classic.
And I was like, shit, man. Okay. So it's funny.
That's why I loved them so much, though. They just said the craziest shit and just didn't give a fuck.
They really didn't.
Yeah, that's why I love them. And NOFX, all the bands who just basically said fuck you to everybody.
Sure. Well, I mean, obviously, Amity Affliction's a little different.
A lot different. Lucky. That would be a completely different story if I was the one writing the lyrics.
Right. Sure. So. But I mean, I don't know. We're about the same age, I think. I'm wearing a Bad Religion shirt, so obviously, I grew up with that stuff too. Yeah. And it's like, I don't know. It's weird how we, in our respective bands, get into a music that's very far removed from like Guttermouth or Propagandi. So what was your journey kind of into this world, I guess? Like, or maybe you can talk about even how did you get started playing bass or guitar or singing?
So, my father bought me he offered me either a motorbike or a guitar for my, I think it was my 13th or 12th birthday. I did. But he said, "Nah, that's too expensive. Here's a guitar instead." So he got me and my sister both guitars, and we ended up getting lessons, and she just kind of gave up on it. But I was like, got pretty good, I guess. Yeah. And my teacher ended up saying, I taught him all I can teach him. So, and then, then after that, I was like, well, now it's time to start a band. Started writing songs and formed a band when I was in grade eight. And then met Troy, our old guitarist, and then he was actually dating my sister the whole time, so he was like 3 years older than me. I was like, I want to be in your band, please let me be in your band. He's like, no, you're too young. And eventually he owed me.
I love the age difference when you're a kid, how much three years matters.
Nothing.
Yeah, but it matters so much
then. It does back then. But then, he eventually was like, okay, he saw me singing and playing guitar in my band, he was like, all right, you can actually sing. You can join our band now. And then that was it. And then we started just playing shows, and the rest is history, basically. But I think for somewhere along the lines, like, we just kind of got over punk when we started hearing bands like Atreyu and Poison the Well, and we were like, holy shit, there's a whole new genre of music happening. And it was like the start of it, you know what I mean?
Right, totally.
And we just wanted to jump on board.
Totally. And with singing, I mean, you started as a guitar player, which I think this is, I've done like 139 episodes of this show. I want to say over 100 of them, people just started out playing guitar.
Of course.
They didn't even think about singing or anything.
Like, yeah.
Even, I never wanted to be a singer.
No.
I just somehow was like the only guy in my group of friends that could kind of carry a tune. Is that similar for you, or did you kind of always gravitate towards it?
No.
Obviously, you're known for having a great voice.
Well, yeah, I just started singing along to songs in my room, and I never really thought, like, oh, I'll be a singer, but I just kind of ended up being the only one who had the balls enough to do it, because in school, like, singing was gay. Like, if you sang, you know what I mean?
You can't say that anymore, but yeah. You could back then.
Yeah, that back then, that's what it was like. Oh, he's a fag, you know? But I was just like, I don't care, I'll do it. Like,
sure.
I got nothing to lose. And it was actually my music teacher who, like, forced me to do it, and I was, you know, I'm forever grateful for that, because I was scared shitless when I first sang, and I had to do it in front of like the whole school assembly, because we did it with as a school band. They heard me and my band playing Chick Magnet, an MXPX song.
Nice.
And so our whole class had to learn it, and I had to go up in front and play guitar and sing the song. And it was obviously terrible, but that was the first time.
Did you play bass too?
No, I didn't play bass. No, I played guitar. It's a fun riff to play on bass, though. Yeah.
That's great, man. So, okay, cool. Jeez. So, I guess, I don't know, what happened next? I mean, after that?
After that, we had so many different bands. Like, it's all a blur. But basically, we had a band. It was me, Troy, and then we had another member who ended up dying in a car crash with his sister, Snowy.
Oh,
rest in peace. He was 17, and he had a 15-year-old little sister, and they just fell asleep at the wheel, taking one of their friend's car back from a party on the Sunshine Coast. And then we were like, okay, well, you need to like start a new band in his memory, and that was the Amity Affliction.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and then that was like the whole transition of sound as well. So we were like, okay, let's make this...
Right.
Like really, you know, emotional and I'll scream as well. And,
right.
And so the first few songs were written about him.
Right. It's, you know, and being from Australia, I guess, especially being from a small town in Australia, did you have any aspirations of, you know, like, I hate using the term making it, but, you know.
Oh, of course.
Being just, did you guys think that was possible?
100%.
So you were really focused on this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had no doubt in my mind. I told my mother, I was like, I'm going to be a rock star. So We really butted heads in high school, because she was like, you need to finish high school, you need to like get a good OP and get like a nice desk job. Trust me, it'll be an easier life. And I was like, no way. Like, I'm not even doing my assignments. I'm getting D's. So she ended up doing my assignments for me, because I was such a little prick. And so I just went and sat the tests and like just didn't even try. Ended up getting like a really high OP, like 18, which is bad.
Like, yeah, I don't even know what an OP means.
Or the lowest is 24, and
OPS,
the highest is 1.
That's baseball again.
Right, yeah. mine would be very low in there as well. But, and then I was just like, no, I'm going to do this. I need to move to Brisbane. We need to all move to Brisbane together and get jobs. And I was working at McDonald's for like 2 years.
How old were you at this point?
When we moved to Brisbane, I was 17.
Wow.
Yeah. So then all I had... in my resume was McDonald's for 2 years when I moved to Brisbane, and then I worked at Subway for like 3 months, and then I was a telemarketer, and then I became a scaffolder, and I scaffolded houses for 7 years.
Wow.
All up until we released Young Bloods. So
yeah,
we were touring. I was just lucky to have a job that I could come and go from, so I would be, you know, work for like 2 months and go, hey, boss, can I please have, you know, the next month off? I've got a tour. And they hated it because I was a good worker. But they didn't mind, because it was just a revolving door of like criminals and people, like complete pieces of shit that worked there. So
right.
It was fine.
Right.
But yeah. It was really hard work, hot labor, you know, in the sun, and yeah, it was bad. So.
Well, that's the kind of jobs.
This is much easier.
People need those, right? Well, maybe not Warped Tour.
No, yeah, that's pretty similar, actually.
It'll make you, although, remember a few years back, they did have bands building stages. It's like, oh, you want to play on the Smart Punk stage? Well, you got to build it every morning.
Oh, my God.
That was a real thing.
The punishment doesn't fit the crime.
Right, I know, dude. But being from Australia, you know, I just asked that because there couldn't possibly be a worse place in the world to be from. If you're trying to be
an international 100%. Yeah.
First of all, it's a big country, but it's a big country, so logistically it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Cuz you're talking about, and a lot of Americans don't know this, but you're talking about 10, 12 hour drives between major cities. There's only about 5 major cities, maybe 4, maybe 3.
Yeah.
Right? Depending on what you classify as a major city.
I mean, the East Coast runs that most people do, like people forget about Perth and Adelaide, and we didn't make it to Perth or we made it to Adelaide, but Perth is just the most remote country in the world, I think. Like
it is. Yeah, the most remote capital city, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
So we only played there like maybe 7 or 8 years into our career. So
damn.
Yeah.
That's like almost like the West Coast of Canada for
insane,
us.
Insane, yeah.
But no, that's wild. So because I don't know, it's like it's so hard. You can create a bit of a fan base within Australia, but you can't play that many shows. It's hard to, you know, make money to afford a plane ticket to get the hell out to start building a career either in America or Europe.
100%.
Or maybe Japan.
Yeah. So that's why we just had to slam Australia. We just toured relentlessly until we finally made a name for ourselves there.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the screamo genre at the height of it was when we started. So it kind of started dying off. And by the time we became like big in quotation marks in Australia, the screamo scene has just kind of, I use that term loosely, just so you know.
No, it's fine.
It like just,
I'm okay with it.
It had started up again, so we'd kind of like gone full circle, and lucky for us, we were still doing it.
Well, I remember the tour we did together in Australia.
Right,
it was us and you guys, and Set Your Goals.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I heard of you guys, and I remember you guys telling us later that you thought we were a Christian band, and you were like, didn't like you guys.
Yeah,
like,
we just thought everyone was a Christian band. I don't know. I have no idea. That
and
was
then
a,
Bill
that's a
snubbed
to
you
me.
At some show like
oh,
later
that was,
on.
That was in the UK, yeah.
Yeah,
he was probably being funny, but we were just like, okay,
no,
whatever.
I don't know what happened. I think there was some incident before.
I think we didn't have a dressing room, and we were just like, do we have a dressing room? And he was just like, I don't know, this is ours. And we were like, okay, bye. So we'll just go back to the bar. Yeah.
Sure.
Classic Bill.
So I really want to talk about the new album that's coming out called Misery. And I listened to the new track a few times, and I got to say, like, it's really great, really different.
Very different,
and
yeah.
I was trying to figure out, I'm like, did Aaron start yelling, or is Joel, like, pitching his screams, or like what's going on? Because
yeah,
vocally, well, musically too, but it's very different, but very strong.
A lot of people like didn't realize. I saw one comment saying, "Did Aaron like lose his voice from smoking too many cigarettes? He sounds really raspy in the chorus." I'm like, "That's not me, like,
right?
It's Joel." So Joel has started to tonal scream. I mean, he did tonal screaming on our very first album, Severed Ties. There's a lot of him singing, so. We knew he could do it, and he was really like kind of scared about the whole recording, like singing part, because he'd never,
of course,
he just had never really done it that much. But we were just like, no, we want to try some new stuff. Like we constantly get pigeonholed as the band who keeps putting out the same record, which I totally disagree with. Sure, some songs do sound similar, but that's just us. So we use similar chord progressions. I mean, that's just what bands do.
Yeah. That's
just our sound.
There's not that many chords.
Exactly.
And
you
not
run
that many
out
that
of progressions.
Sound good together.
Yeah. Like, listen to pop music. It's all the same shit.
Yeah.
Like, people don't realize that. But anyway, so we were like, all right, let's go out of our comfort zone. Let's try new stuff. And I think we nailed it. I think, anyway.
Well, I'm excited to hear the whole record, and I guess you got probably something you're going to roll out a couple songs or whatever beforehand, and people will hear it, but this will come up pretty soon, so I'll definitely play the song we're talking about at the end of this episode. Even musically, though, I mean, it's less about, you know, guitar-based drums. There's more like some sort of padding and some synths and keyboards and stuff like that. Who in the band is kind of the mastermind behind that?
Well,
that's not something like I would really... maybe not really know how to do. I'd have to have somebody kind of help me.
Well, Dan, ever since he joined the band, he's like really helped with songwriting. And this album, like, he started writing songs, and I was starting writing music songs as well, and then everything he sent me was just so good, and he just kept just banging them out. I think he wrote like 28 songs or something
by
the end of it.
That puts pressure on you, right? When someone else is like damn.
No, but I was just like, well, I'm just going to stop writing music. Then. Yeah, so right, okay. He just keeps sending them, and then I have the luxury to be like the composer of the band, so if I don't like a song, we're just not going to use it. So Joel writes
the
lyrics.
So you have like the last say. Basically.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So Joel writes the lyrics, and then I compose whatever song that he sends me to whatever song I think it fits. And so Dan would send me these songs, and I'd be like, nah, don't like that one. And then I'd find one that I liked and put the lyrics to it and the melody, and then boom, we've got a song. So
awesome.
It was a really easy process, but the most fun, because there's no stress on me anymore to write music. Like, Dan's a musical genius, so he just was just banging them out, and I was just slapping the
words
on. Where is
Dan, by the way? He's not here.
Dan's at home having a baby.
Okay.
Which he still hasn't had yet. But okay. I think his wife was, Mo was due around the middle to the end of Warped Tour, so he didn't want to miss out on the birth, obviously, which is 100%.
Sure, no.
You can't miss out on that.
I'm sure I'll have a baby, and then you guys will be back in rock mode in, what is it, August 24th the record comes out?
That comes out then, yep. And then we've got Europe and then another American tour next year. So
beautiful. It's great. And what can fans expect is the single is, I don't want to say it's on the soft side. I mean, it sounds like a single.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's probably some rippers
on
it,
too. It's not as heavy as the stuff we've, like, I'll say right now, the album is not a heavy, heavy album. There's, like, maybe two or three breakdowns on the whole record.
Right.
There's 12 songs, though. But it's definitely, it's just like, I don't know, there's just better songs. Every song is really different as well. So we made sure of that to make it as diverse as possible. So it's like an album from start to finish, like instead of just his, you know, 10 banging songs one after the other. Like, we've made it dip in parts and then get back up in parts. We haven't heavily front-loaded the album like we usually do and put all the good songs at the start.
Yeah.
We've got some trickled out throughout the album.
Totally.
So, yeah. I mean, not that there's any filler. It's all killer, of course. But
all kill, no
you
filler.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Shout out to Sum 41. Yes. Yeah, no. I've always... It's funny, I just talked about this with... I had Joe from Knucklepuck the other day, and I was like... We were talking a little bit about Blink-182 and how I always liked that there was, like, always a rip-in track, like, at, like, number 10 or 11.
Right, yeah.
And with our band, we've always
tried to do
that. It
pricks your ears back up.
Yeah, right. And I think that's great, you know, that you guys are taking that direction. I mean, although, of course, there's always, like, songs you're like, I don't know if this song's as good because maybe you wrote it later in the process or earlier in the process.
Right,
and
of course.
And then at the end... and when
Your brain plays tricks on you.
And once everyone else hears the record, you're like, what are the best songs? And people are talking about the ones you never expected.
Exactly, and they're always the first ones you wrote. Like, me and Joel actually listened to the album just before we went on to show some of our friends, and the first song we wrote, which is called Black Cloud, was when we first wrote it, we were like, this is going to be one of the singles for sure. And then now, we're like, this is maybe our least favorite song on the album.
That's probably a really good sign.
For sure, yeah.
You know?
So we just...
I got to ask you about the recording process, too. I mean, I know I had Joel on, like I said, a couple years ago. We were talking about This Could Be Heartbreak. And he's like, well, I was drunk for the whole record.
Yeah.
All my vocal takes you here, I was drunk.
Yeah.
So obviously this record is it's a sober record, at least for Joel.
Yeah.
I mean, that dynamic must have been a lot different. I mean, is that maybe result in a much stronger record just because everyone's there?
Well, everyone wasn't there, actually. Like, me, Joel, and Dan all went over for 2 weeks to do pre-production in Maryland with Matt Squire. And then Joel flew home while me and Dan stayed and tracked the whole record. And then when we were finished, Joel had lost his passport with his US visa in it.
Oh.
So he had to fly to Toronto, and so did Matt. Matt Squire had to fly to Toronto as well. We had to get a whole new recording studio and everything, new engineer, because Joel wasn't allowed back into America because he has a criminal conviction for graffiti. So it was a huge, like, fuck, what are we going to do? But it ended up working out.
Well, yeah, he's here now.
Yeah,
so.
So he ended up getting a new visa by then, but... So he was by himself the whole time, and he was just like in a really dark headspace, and just, you know, being by yourself recording an album can't be fun. I mean, I
I've done
would have lost my mind.
I've done it too, and also, I hated it.
For sure. So we're never doing that again, obviously. But yeah, we learn the hard way every time. Right. Either way, I mean, he sounds amazing, and whatever like shit he was going through obviously came out on the music, like you can hear it, I think. So
maybe it worked. That's awesome. I mean, so you guys have had an extreme amount of success in Australia, to say the least. I think I read it was like 3 number one records in a row on the Australian charts, which I also think I read that had never been done before. No,
Silverchair have the record, which is 5.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. So
that's like, name a band from Australia. Everyone says Silverchair. Well, maybe Silverchair, maybe Akadaka.
AC/DC,
yeah. But I mean, is there pressure for you guys, or is the pressure off? Like with this,
I don't think. I mean, we're kind of like
if you get number two, are you going to be like,
Yeah, I'd be very upset, to be completely honest.
I love
honest,
the honesty.
We're so Yeah, we're so spoiled in Australia, and we definitely don't take our success for granted, but, you know, I think number two, especially on just because we're so proud of this record.
But it
is scary, so if we were going to get a number two, maybe this would be the record, but I guess we'll see.
Well, I don't know. The thing about your band, too, and from an outside, like, I'm not Australian. I'm Canadian, and I've spent a lot of time in Australia, but it's hard for me to wrap my head around the fact that a band that plays the music that you play could do that.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it is insane.
Because you've had mainstream success. Like, you get played on the radio,
right,
and most of your stuff is... at least by...
Well, we don't get played on mainstream radio,
okay,
though. But,
yeah, but that's true, too, because there's other outlets. Well, this could change with this record. I mean, if the songs are like the song I heard, it's called Ivy Doomsday.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you call it Ivy? Or
we call it Ivy, but because of the
chorus.
Yeah.
Well, that's like a radio thing to do, right?
Exactly, yeah. Well, the funny thing about that is Architects released their single called Doomsday, and the second I found out, because we're good friends with those guys, I messaged Sam Carter, and I was like, holy shit, no way did you guys just call a song Doomsday. And then I sent him my playlist of all our demos, and that was like, the Doomsday for us was our first... or Ivy, rather.
Yeah.
It was our first, like, this is 100% going to be a single. And I sent it to him, and he's like, great minds think alike. Like,
sure.
It was one of those things, so we had to, like, put the in brackets.
Oh, okay.
Just because you hear the word Doomsday, we wanted to make sure people knew that it was the same song.
No, totally. Yeah. Totally. And that was the thing, like, I think Fall Out Boy, they always had, like, the crazy song titles. And then at some point, they just started doing the simple ones for the singles. Like,
right. That's
Sugar,
same
we're
as
going
us.
Down because we're yeah. going down. Right.
Yeah.
So I get it from a radio perspective. But that being said, that obviously is something that you guys are probably more focused on, is with Joel being able to kind of sing more as your lead singer. I mean, co-lead singers. You know, that's definitely got to be a big change.
For sure.
Something that could help a lot with mainstream stuff.
Right. Like, it's not like we're trying to become a mainstream band or anything. Like, we're not trying to be the Arctic Monkeys, but we just want to test ourselves and see how far we can go and how, you know, creative we can get. Because, you know, Joel especially, he's tired of just screaming. Like,
okay,
you know,
yeah, sure.
Anyone can scream. And he wants to be able to prove that he can sing as well. So
it's a little bit like Parkway Drive.
Exactly.
They're
yeah.
going through that right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. You just get bored doing the same old thing. So we really want to just like put the pedal to the metal and see what happens.
I think you guys have, I mean, it's great. I think the beauty of it, and of course I've only heard one song. I'd love if you could play me the record maybe, you know, later when we're back on the tour. I'd love to
For
hear
sure.
it. But I think the integrity is still there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one thing to be like, okay, well, we're going to sing, so we get on the radio. It's another thing to be like, no, we're writing better songs than we were ever capable of writing before.
Exactly.
Because the fact that, you know, you had to sing, he had to scream, that was holding you back
right.
from certain things and maybe making your music, I know you disagree with this, but people would say formulaic.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, we know what's going to happen. Joel's going to scream this verse, and then here comes... Here
100%.
Comes...
We're all about the formula. We're the first to say, like, we use pop formulas. Like, there's no denying it.
But not even pop formulas. I just mean, like, the singing versus screaming.
Right, for sure. Yeah, it's just, like, it's predictable and stuff. And I don't care. I love predictable music, to be honest. I love pop music. Like, I'm a huge Taylor Swift fan all of a sudden. But I've always been a fan of pop, and that's why I think we write, you know, such catchy songs and catchy melodies, because I've listened to pop my whole life, and I'm a huge fan of it. And those songwriters are the best songwriters of all time, like Max Martin and, you know, all the songs that he wrote. Like, he wrote all of Backstreet Boys, Britney Spears, Taylor Swift. Like, he knows what he's doing, and you listen to those melodies and they just get stuck in your head. And if you don't like it, or you do, you can't tell. It's just in your head. So,
but I always liked about your band too was that you gave me what I wanted.
Yeah.
You know, like, and even my favorite hardcore bands,
I don't want to be surprised. I want what I want.
Right. Yeah. Right. Even my favorite hardcore bands were always the ones that had that pop sensibility.
Yeah.
And it's funny to talk about hardcore when you're talking about 2-minute songs and pop in the same breath, but it's true. It's like my favorite hardcore record of all time is Buried Alive, old Victory Band. I don't know if you've heard
of
them. And that was like the epitome of like, I want a breakdown. There it is. Great.
Exactly.
I want like a sick 2-step part. There it is.
I don't
want
to get psyched out.
And you guys do that. And it's a beautiful thing. And it probably is part of your popularity. I don't know how much you've thought about
that. I think it is a lot, for sure. Like, if you can, it's a proven formula. Like, that's why people like songs and what they get out of it. And it's how you remember a song is when things are strategically placed.
Absolutely. Like, absolutely. And congratulations on, you know, there's science.
It's just science.
It's just science. You've never done a side project like a...
No, I have, actually.
You did a hip-hop thing, right?
Well, I've done two. Well, the hip-hop thing is like a fun thing with the friends. It's Royal Family. Check it out on YouTube. We have some very funny videos. It's me.
What is it again? Shout it out.
It's called Royal Family.
Okay.
It's me, my girlfriend, Casey. Well, Lady Casey is our rap name. I'm Young Wolsey. Real Bad from D's Nuts is also in it. My sister's boyfriend. My sister makes all the videos for us.
Okay.
And, yeah, we just have a lot of fun and just talk about dumb stuff. And it's just funny rap, basically, like the Lonely Island kind of stuff. And then me and my old keyboard player, Trad, we had a side project called Love Cats, which was pop.
Yeah.
Like I was saying, I did love pop. It was kind of like a 303 kind of... dance kind of, I don't know, yeah, just a pop act with two people. It never really got off the ground, but we actually did have a couple of meetings with Sony and Warner, but then we were just like, we're not going to do it anymore.
Well, yeah,
we just wanted to focus on the Amity.
I respect that you are focused on it, but I also wonder, you know, you talk about how much you love pop music, or you talk about how, you know, you're the lead singer. It's the lead singer syndrome, and you are one of the lead singers of the band, but I always wondered, I'm like, damn, like I hear you sing, I'm like, man, that guy could fucking sing. I would love to
I
would love to hear a project with you doing that kind of vocals or something stripped down, just because, you know, when you take away the drums and the bass and the electric guitars and you strip something down, that's when you really hear the soul in someone's voice.
Yeah,
and I just wondered if there was a specific reason why you never just took the plunge.
I don't know. I'm just loyal to the boys. You know what I mean? Like,
cool.
I don't see myself as like a pop star. So I've always wanted to be a part of a band. Like, that's where my heart is. But in saying that, the last track on our new album, it's called The Gift Horse. It's for, it's dedicated to one of Joel's best friends. He just committed suicide this year. So we wrote the song, and it was just the saddest song. Well, Dan had this song written, and it was this super sad song, and we were like, oh, let's use this for this because it's perfect. And it's very like Post Malone-y kind of, like, it's very stripped back, like just guitar, drums, and singing. So
totally.
It's awesome,
cool.
Though.
You can come back here. It's no problem. We can take a break. Yeah, grab your stuff, man.
No,
you guys
are good. That's necessary. Yeah.
No problem, man. I edit into that stuff. So
yeah, that's all good. DJ String.
I'm keeping it in. Newsflash, motherfuckers, I don't edit shit.
Back Detroit.
And we're back with Mr. Aaron Stringman of the Amity Affliction. There we go. I got to keep that in.
Go for it.
Whatever. Hey, dude, I don't want to take too much of your time. I don't know what else there is to... Fuck, we've blown through this, dude.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your clothing line. That shit is
successful. Oh, yeah,
me and
JJ. Yeah. From D's Nuts. We started that in, like, 2012, I think. Yeah, 2012.
One Love Apparel.
One Love Apparel. We were just hanging out at a party because we used to live together. And we were just... He brought up that he was going to start a label, and I was like, no shit, me too. And we were like, well, let's just join both forces, because his band
was doing
really well in Europe at the time. I mean, they still are, obviously. And we were getting pretty big in Australia, so I was like, well, let's, you know, see if we can tap both markets. And lo and behold, like, now we're on Impericon and doing really well overseas in Europe. And in Australia, we're killing it. So, yeah, the rest is history. And
cool. Do you spend a lot of time on that? It's like...
We used to back in the day, but not anymore. It's kind of just kind of... It's taken over itself, which is great, which is what we wanted. So we didn't have to always make sure that our faces were on the brand.
So you have other people now helping you and stuff.
Right. So now... Very cool. We don't have to model it all the time, you know. And it just sells itself, which is great.
That's very cool, man. Very cool. Anything else to add? I think we've covered it, dude.
Yeah, I mean
the new record, anything else to say about it? We talked so much about it. It's August 24th. It comes out. It's called Misery. Pre-orders up now at whatever the website is.
AmityAffliction.net, I think.
.net. Okay.
We got a new single coming out, I think, maybe the 24th. I'm not sure. Don't take my word for it. If you follow the
Amity
Affliction on Instagram or Facebook, I'm sure you'll find out. We're dropping a trailer soon for that. But yeah, it's my favorite song, this next one.
Nice.
By far my favorite song we've ever written.
Wow.
And it's the craziest. Like,
what do you mean by that?
I mean, there's just some elements of the song that we've never done or tried before. And this was like the song that was almost guaranteed to be a B-side. And then the magic of Matt Squire in the studio and him playing with like electronic sounds just made this into like...
Cool.
It was just like a real Frankenstein song that just came to life in the studio.
So it's an electronic heavy song.
It's a heavy electronic song.
It's gonna freak people
out. It will freak people out, I think. But it's also heavy, heavy. Like, the chorus to me is like... heavier than a breakdown. I would just want to fucking flip tables and stuff. But it's
sick.
It's like it's not, you know, it's not heavy in the literal sense of like, it's not Cannibal Corpse. It's still the Amity Affliction. But yeah, it is one of my favorite songs we've ever written, and I just can't wait to see the reactions. I know we're gonna get shit for it, and there's gonna be mixed reviews. But everyone I've shown it to has like wanted to listen to it straight away again. So
sweet.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the thing. When you listen to a song and you're like, I want to hear that again.
Yeah. Just press play again. Press play. Yeah.
I remember when...
And I myself probably have racked up like 1,000 plays on my iPod. Like, I just can't stop listening.
So you're not ashamed to admit you listen to your own music?
No, not at all.
Good for you.
Yeah. And this is the album that I have really just slammed, but mainly this song. I still listen to this song.
I love that. I remember when I was, whenever the record came out, the Sum 41 record, because we already talked about them, they put out Still Waiting, which was like a, you know, lead track for whatever record that was, Desus Infected.
Yeah.
And it was on the radio, and they were like, we're going to debut the, you know, Sum 41 track. And they played it. And I was like, you know, everyone knows that song.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck this song. That song was sick. And they come back on the air and they go, we got to play it again. That was so good. Let's play it again.
That's sick.
And they did.
Yeah.
Then they said, you know what? We're going to play it again 3 times. So I heard that song 3 times, and I was like, fuck, like,
well,
it's a great song.
Yeah.
And that is, you're right, that is the mark of a great song.
I think that is going to happen to us as well. Like, so Octane said they're going to play this song 24 times in the first day. On Sirius.
Wow.
Yeah, so where,
well, that's a commitment.
So,
cool.
Yeah, I know. So if they are backing it that hard, then I'm...
What's the song
I think
called?
I'm right. It's called Feels Like I'm Dying.
Okay, yeah. Feels Like I'm Dying. If it's available, I'll play that one, because I know it's your favorite.
Yeah.
But that's very cool. Before I let you go, I have a fan question, which I kind of know the answer to, but I want you to explain it. So it's from Michael, and he asks, on social media, you and a lot of Australians have DTD in your name. Yeah. What's the story behind this?
So, so JJ and his friends in Adelaide one drunken night just formed a drunk crew called Drunk Till Death, DTD. And then when I met JJ and we toured, I'd known JJ for a long time, but we toured Europe together on the Cool Stitch tour with Endwell, and that's where I met Real Bad, and then he joined the band. But we all got DTD tattoos, and that's basically it. It's just a group of friends.
Drunk till death.
Yeah,
because you guys are from, I mean, Adelaide to Brisbane is very far.
Yeah,
that's like
far.
Florida to New York City
but
or something.
But when you're touring all the time, like, we always cross paths, so everybody knows everyone in Australia.
Right.
Like, it is a very big country, but there's not many people there.
Is it weird now when you see fans of your band, like, putting it at the end?
Yeah, for
like,
sure. It just went crazy. My mother, her Instagram name is Mum DTD.
Yeah, I saw that. That's cute.
And then I'm String DTD, and my father is Old String DTD. So it's like, it's not like a serious gang or anything. It's just a bunch of friends. So
Yes, no. That's it's a beautiful thing. I love that so much. Well, dude, thank you very much, man, for taking the time. And
my pleasure, man.
Yeah, I think I got to get ready to play. So
yeah, you better get to stage.
Yeah, dude. Cheers, man. Thank you.
No worries, bro.
Thanks. So there it is with Aaron. As we walked off the bus to do this interview, I begged him to hear the new song, and it is different. It is very different. It is very catchy. I think it's going to freak some people out, but I think in a good way. I want to thank Aaron so much for doing it, Sam for setting it up, and make sure you go see the Amity Affliction on tour wherever you are, because they tour all over the world, and they will be in your town, I'm sure, very soon. Next week, I will be back with a new episode. I think it will be a live, quote-unquote, live Warped Tour episode. I've got some great ones planned. So, of course, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you don't miss a thing. I will leave you with a tune. I got to play a new one from the upcoming record, Misery. Here is Ivy, parentheses, Doomsday, by Amity Affliction and lead singer Syndrome. Peace and love. We'll see you next week. I will cover you. And choke out all life. Baby, I could be a doomsday. Let you know we'll be alright. Cause I've got heaven in my veins, but heaven doesn't numb my pain. Be your
I could be your doomsday.